This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a heartfelt welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please listen following the program for ordering information. We thank you for joining us today and invite you to join us every Sunday for worship on this station.
What is the greatest threat to America? Is it a failed economy or a broken home? We're going to discuss that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is with thanksgiving in our hearts, Heavenly Father, that we stand before your throne of grace this day, thanking you for all of the blessings that you have given to us. For this great land of which we are permitted to be a part, we ask you to forgive us our sins, for when you have given us so much, we have often turned our backs on you. We pray also this day for the leadership of our land and the leadership in our homes, the mothers and the fathers. Grant, O God, that you may raise up those parents who love you and love their children and point them to the cross. In Christ's name, amen. Friends in Christ, what is the greatest threat to America? Is it a failed economy or a broken home? My answer is a broken home, and yet we as a people spend much more time talking about a failed economy than we do about broken homes, which are also in big, big trouble. On this Mother's Day, let's visit for a little bit on this general theme, the power of the home. The home is being attacked in our day by divorce, same-sex marriages, cohabitation. According to the teachings of God's holy word, All these are enemies of a godly marriage. Living in our postmodern culture, what impression from our homes are the children carrying with them out into life? Let me point you to a home, the home of the prodigal son, which is recorded in Luke 15. This is a story told by Jesus that is filled with great sermon themes. I'm sure it wasn't a perfect home. None are in that day nor in this. There must have been some things in that home that caused the young man to become disgusted and took on the role of a rebel, and he wanted to go away. After visiting with his father about wanting to leave home, and the father being unable to convince him to stay with the family, the prodigal left with his share of the inheritance. He left behind a father, and I like to believe a mother, though the story doesn't mention her. They had a broken heart. They wanted their family together. But while they had a broken heart, there was a glimmer of hope that this rebellious son would one day come home and there stay for the rest of his day. The reason for that hope was the seed of God's word had been put in his life, and that together with the home would bring him back. After leaving his home with pockets full of money, he went to a large city. There the story tells us that he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a famine in the area, and he could not find a job. Finally, a farmer employed the prodigal and gave him the wage of taking care of the swine and eating whatever he wanted that was given to the pigs. There he sat. Now here is the important part of the text for this particular sermon. Notice this. In his miserable condition, he was brought to his senses. And the Bible says that when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired men had food to spare, and here I am with nothing to eat. I will go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven and earth. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father." Can't you just imagine that son? There in the pig pen, perhaps sitting on a stump, and thinking back over those days that he was at home. Those days when he was wandering about, spending all of his money foolishly, how different they were. And finally he thought, "I have some good impressions of my home, and I believe my father will take me back. I don't think he'll take me back as his son, because he is very much opposed to the sinful life that I have lived, and he is not going to gloss over that sin. But maybe he'll just take me home as one of the hired men." So he went. There he found the power of the Christian home, to be able to go home. What impressions that home had put into that heart suddenly were pulling him back. The witness of the home turned him around. Now, what if he had had a father who was a hard, hot-headed, alcoholic man, beat his wife and walked out on his kids? What if his parents had fought daily? What if the home could not even have offered him the necessities of life because of the terrible living on the part of the parents? Well, he probably would have decided when he left the pig pen not to go home because there had been some more of the same. He had had enough of that environment when he was growing up. but such was not the case. From the story, his parents were loving, kind, and more than willing to forgive. They knew how to have a party, too, and so they celebrated because their son, who was dead, is alive, who was lost, is found. It was memories from the prodigal's childhood that turned him around. You who know the rest of the story remember there was an older brother who was jealous and not willing to forgive his brother. He could have told some of his friends that his father condoned sin and just let the son come in after wasting all that had been given to him. But instead of that, he had a big party for him. Well, the father did not condone his sin, but the father forgave it. And there's a tremendous difference between condoning and forgiving sin. The jealous brother wouldn't even come to the party. What do you suppose happened to him? We don't know. Jesus didn't finish, but perhaps he just went on with life. And every time he saw that brother around, he went the other way. What a horrible way to live your life. And yet there are many who do that. But the impression of the home so found its way into the heart of that younger brother that when he saw his brother living as he was, he said, well, I can understand that. Jealousy is his sin. Frivolous living was my sin. Father can forgive them all. Now what about our homes? The homes which today are impressing our children for good or bad. Here are a few important questions for all of us to consider. Because our homes are influencing kids too. Sometimes they're pretty old, but they still influence the child. Some are small. They're in your home. They're observing you subconsciously, if in no other way. Are they spiritually strong? Is Jesus Christ present? And do we live in a personal relationship with him? Does the church have an important place in the life of the family? A friend, on this Mother's Day, wouldn't it be well just to sit down and take inventory and ask ourselves truly that question, are our homes spiritually strong? Is the Word of God open? Now, I used to like to say that that meant that the Bible would be open sometime around mealtime, and we would read and think about some of the things that came our way. Close with a word of prayer. If somebody was hurting or sick in the family, we remembered them in a special way. If it were a birthday, we'd thank God for the 8 or 10 or 12 years Sally or Mary had received and prayed that God would bless them and that they'd be great women of the faith in the days that were to come. When the neighbor across the street who didn't want to have anything to do with you was hurting in some way, you remembered him in a devotion and went over and said, is there anything I can do for you in your hour of trial? Is that what our children are seeing in our homes? Dad and Mom, on this Mother's Day, what about your marriage? Oh, you're still together, you say, and that's pretty good for our age. Well, maybe it is so. But is there something there that still could be corrected? Do you find yourself freely willing to forgive? And if an angry voice is sometimes raised, is it possible that you are anxious to say in the presence of your children, that was wrong, for me to say that in that way. Forgive me. Have you talked with your children about their own marriage, so that when the time comes for your daughter to make a decision and to accept that diamond or not to accept it, to remember what God's word says, be not equally mismated with unbelievers. Have you told those children what it meant to have a Christian husband, a Christian wife? Have you told them what depth that has brought to your relationship? That the beauty is only skin deep, and it's important, but it's only skin deep. That all of the other glamorous things that come along with a marriage last for a little while, and then you either want some more, or it doesn't satisfy at least anymore. Are they getting impressions of who to marry from the home? Remember, the home is very powerful. Or maybe you rushed out and married someone that you knew at the time was not going to meet the spiritual requirements. But your father and your mother warned you about it. But I was going to have that person anyway. And then it ended in divorce. Went along for a while and you found another man, and the two of you were married. This time it was different. This time it meant that you were worshiping together, reading the word together, witnessing together. What an opportunity to gather your little ones around you. Little ones, by that I mean even teenagers and on up, and say, don't make that first costly mistake that I did. Oh, God forgives it to be sure, but there's always some kind of a hurt there. Try not to do that. Try not to make that mistake. Talk freely. Just remember the power that your home and your experience is having on that child at that time is worth 1,000 books on marriage and worth far more than the greatest expert could give you when they lecture on marriage. Marriage retreats are important. Marriage encounters are great. But the greatest encounter of them all, at least that's what I found in my ministry through the years, was a father and a mother sitting down, especially if they knew Christ in a personal way, and talking to that son or daughter about the importance of that next step. What about the relationship in your home among the siblings? Say you have 4 children. Have they learned to forgive one another? Are they jealous of one another? Are they only concerned about themselves and not one another? Or if someone is getting an award or something at the school, are they into this award too and anxious to be there to see what takes place? That's the kind of a relationship you need among the siblings. For there, that home is making an impression that as they treat their siblings during those first 18 to 20 years at home, so they will one day treat their friends when they're older. Does your home focus attention on giving rather than receiving? Anxious to give? Oh, I can remember from my home how my mother would bake and bake and then go to these people who were in need of something. She was anxious to give. The receiving could come or not. Is that the way with you? Does your home major in criticizing or in forgiving? Is it one of those homes where perhaps when you come home from church, you undo everything that was ever done there? On that Sunday, you might also have knelt at the communion table and asked for the gracious forgiveness of your sins and then come home and really rake somebody over the coal. Oh, I know that's easy to have that. We come by it rather naturally. But remember, that type of activity blots out the good that you received in that morning worship service. And that home, at that particular time, with these caustic remarks, is making a terribly strong impression. Is that what the home is all about? If your children are still at home, remember, these are exciting but challenging days in molding those sons and daughters to be great people of God. If you are now older and the children are gone and you would like to have another chance to raise them, perhaps you can still go and tell them what has happened in your life. If you and your husband had a spiritual awakening in the later years of your life, why not tell them? Tell them that we always had an understanding of the gospel. We understood that Jesus Christ had died for our sins. We believed that he would forgive us. He would bring us home safely to heaven. But then we met him. We met him face to face. And it has had put a depth into our marriage that will never, never separate us. And mothers, well, this is your day. Just remember what a powerful influence you have been in your home. Don't minimize it. Don't ever say, well, I wasn't out doing this or doing that in the professional world. I was just a homemaker. I was just at home. The most important thing, and many will say it today, and I want to be one of them to repeat it, that one of the most important things in your life is to raise up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. We thank God for you, Christian mothers. We thank God that you daily remembered us before God's throne. We could feel it. But at that time, we probably didn't admit it. Or maybe we didn't even know it. But oh, never could anything replace our mothers who bore us, who raised us, who scolded us sometimes, but always there to support us. Yes, I go back to my opening questions. Just remember, humans might be able to fix a broken economy. But only God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ can prevent a broken home. And broken homes will tear down the walls of any nation. Amen.
Yeah.
O Master, let us walk with you. May we hear clearly from your word how powerful the home can be. And so we thank you for the homes that many of us have come from, for we do see the power of that home. And many a time we would have gone astray had it not been the voice of mother or father that God was using, telling us, no, don't do that. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray today that you will give to us in America homes that are built on the rock, that rock being Jesus Christ, and help us to say yea and amen, that if a country like ours is going to exist, it must be built on strong spiritual truths. Give us grace to do just that. In your name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will be a source of strength in the week to come. An honorarium gift is a special way to recognize someone in your life on their birthday, anniversary, or any occasion. A gift given in your loved one's name makes both of you a partner in our goal of proclaiming Jesus Christ as our Redeemer of the world. For more information on honorarium gifts, please call us at 1-888-693-2484. You can also direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org, where you can find past sermons, a daily devotion, and our online store. Even email our office to sign up for our mailing list online. We hope you have a happy and blessed Mother's Day today, and remember to give thanks to God for the loving care of mothers everywhere. For a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting continuously every Sunday since 1936.